Hello again, friends, and welcome to March to the Pod, a show that if you're watching on YouTube, you see us both side by side. And we're also presented by Eternal Roofing, if I didn't say that the first time. Who knows what's going to happen in this episode today? I do know we're going to talk about some football and how this first spring practice went from the Cats. Ben's got an update for us. Baseball's got a big series coming up inside Conference USA at the dawn. And softball making some good headlines. Nice to see. I'm your host, Corey Hogue, the non-FBS insider at Dave Campbell's Texas Football. Find me on your favorite social media channel at Corey Hogue Sports. That's all one word. CoreyHogue Sports. I'm joined by the creator and manager of Sports of SHSU on Twitter and Instagram. He is the chief operating officer of the Cat Fund and proud Bearcat alum, Ben Sorrells. Ben, for all not aware, it is magazine season at Dave Campbell's Texas Football. And this is and this is where I think I got you like a script for this probably 15 minutes before we started. So hey, that just tells you how things are going in magazine season.
Yeah, nice and busy. And I know Carter Yates was out at Sam Houston today, out at practice and talking to some of the coaches. I got to talk to him earlier this week, which was good. So yeah. I know y'all are in full swing when it comes to magazines and previews and all that.
Oh, yeah. Mike Craven is at Texas Tech today. He was at TCU. He's visiting every single place. And then you have Carter, very happy, very proud of him. Like, he's so good, man. Like, Carter Yates is a rising star in this business. He was at Sam Houston today, and man, some of those photos, I'm telling you, the new facilities, they're doing up right. Like, and I think it's important to note that that there are things this school is doing that are right. And I know sometimes some people like to go on Twitter and make jokes, be a little sarcastic. I don't know. But it is important that we also highlight the good things they do.
Right. Yeah. And talking about the facilities, the field house is very nice. I saw him post that picture. And then I know the visitors' locker room is in the process of being done right now, and that'll be completed for next season. So that's exciting as well. So the facility movements never stop when it comes to Sam Houston with this transition. So, and there's a lot more to come these next couple of months, the next couple of years also.
That's good. That's good. We got to stay on task today. And I know, man, the people at home already started laughing as soon as I said it, because there is a Flying Squirrels game tonight. And I'm glad it's tonight, Ben, because the last couple of days throughout the state of Texas has been pretty darn stormy.
Very.
Did you notice, if anyone noticed any leaks, I just want to let you know, we've got some friends that you can call to take a look at that roof and get it done. And that's Taylor Andrus and his crew at Eternal Roofing. You want to go to the website, eternalroofingtx.com. They have got galleries there showing you all the work they've done. And look, if you've got a leak, they'll come and give you a free inspection. There's going to be a detailed inspection, and then if you need stuff, it's going to be fast, it's going to be high quality. They're not going to pressure you with it, some crazy sales pitch, and everything they do is top quality stuff. So give our friends over at Taylor Andrus at Eternal Roofing give our friends at Eternal Roofing a call. Montgomery office, area code 936-215-8539. Hill Country, area code 830-251-5673. You can email Taylor at eternalroofingtx.com. And that's another way you can get a hold of them. So definitely visit our friends. Ben, football, man. Spring practice has been going. And there was a scrimmage last week, and if you're not a part of the exclusive Cat Fund section at catfans.com, you are missing out, because he brought some very good knowledge to to the people, to the members this weekend. Give us kind of an overview, your thoughts, and then I want to dig into a couple of things from your report that really stuck out to me.
Yeah, it was a really good scrimmage. It was the first kind of official scrimmage. There was a little bit of scrimmaging going on in previous practices, but this entire practice consisted of a scrimmage, went a little over an hour and a half, and man, it was really competitive. The offense kind of came out, maybe won the first quarter of the scrimmage with a couple nice scoring drives, highlighted by a 65-yard touchdown pass from Grant Gunnell to Malik Phillips, so that was cool. And then the defense really settled in from there, so the offense kind of owned those first couple drives, and then from there, it was kind of evenly matched. I mean, there'd be some scoring drives, there'd be some drives the defense kind of dominated, which was good to see. Good to see them coming along under the new coaching staff. And yeah, evenly matched. The offense is without quite a few of its weapons, which is another thing I mentioned. They're without their maybe their top six receivers right now, probably six of your top eight, six of your top nine. So that was kind of one of the big things that the offense is dealing with. And then the defense is just slowly starting to settle in under new defensive coordinator Skylar Cassidy. Was a heavy install week for them leading up to the scrimmage. And so we liked what I saw on both sides of the ball, and it was really competitive and a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, you mentioned the offense, you mentioned the scrimmaging portion. What I found interesting was that your first thing that really stuck out, focus on specific game specific scenarios. There was a lot of focus on this scrimmage about red zone, right? If 5 yard line, where we know Sam Houston struggled a lot last year. I think it's very important that the scrimmage is focused there, because that puts the team's focus. It also tells me that when they went back and did their self-review of last season, they said, this is what we have to fix right here.
Right. Yeah, it was very situational, which I think maybe a lot of scrimmages are. You're not just going to go play a whole game to start with. But it was cool to see, especially that 2 minute drill, which they really worked a lot of. And I know there was one drive. I think each team had one or two timeouts in that 2 minute drill. And there was one drive where the offense was trying to spike the ball because they needed to get a field goal off, and they missed it by a second or two. And you could tell the defense won the drive and they were really excited. So it was cool to see them work through those situations, work in some red zone, and then also work in some drives from an offensive standpoint where you're backed up against the goal line within 5 yards of the goal line. So it was kind of cool to see how they navigated those different situations and how they used their timeouts.
Yeah, I talked it's funny you say that, inside the 5 yard line, because being magazine season, I recently spoke with Colby Carthel over at Stephen F. Austin, and he mentioned to me that the game that kind of turned that season for them last year, they lost when they had a safety when the running back just fell down in the end zone. And that's where those inside the 5 yard line scenarios really come up. So I find it interesting you say that, because that is, those are the parts of the game that, you know, third downs are important, but what you do on first and second down leads to that. These specific scenarios don't happen very often, but when they do, they determine the outcome of games.
Right. And I mean, with a school like Sam Houston, we're still transitioning. You've got to win the little details, whether that be the 2 minute drill, getting a timeout at the right time, not getting a safety if you're backed up at the 1 yard line. It's about the little things. And so executing those details is really important. So good to see them working on that early in camp. And we'll probably see more of it as we go throughout spring and then into summer training camp also.
My wife is also a fan of the little things. You mentioned earlier injuries. And I'm not worried about, like, a lot of offensive players. That's what you really specifically mentioned. There's a lot. The wide receivers are thin. A lot of people. But I'm not worried about it, mainly because this is not a new system. A lot of these guys already know, you know, you're getting some guys, some reps that are important because you're going to need them to fill in some depth parts in the fall. And so why go out there and risk more injury or aggravating an injury to a guy who, you know, knows your playbook and is installed into the offense and going to be a starter when you're also going to need this depth as well. And we learned that last year.
Yeah, and I'm really excited about the depth this year. A lot of the guys we saw play at the end of last year are the guys playing right now. Your Malik Phillips, kind of Adrian Murdaugh, Coco Brown, Simeon Evans. Those are kind of your top weapons right now because John Gentry's not taking a ton of reps. Zach Hrabacek is out this spring. Same with Ife Adeyi, Quavez Humphreys, guys like that. So, and to see them perform well is really encouraging. And also on the quarterback side, to see how they perform without so many of their top weapons has been encouraging. So, I'm really excited about the depth of the skill position that this team has going into 2024.
And you did talk about the quarterbacks. All three of them got work. In fact, and another good thing about this, what I read was that they were moving in a ton of players all scrimmage long into the first two teams.
Right. Yeah. And Keeler mentioned this in his press conference, and you see it out there that all three quarterbacks are getting reps. I think his press conference is up on Bearcat Sports Network from earlier this week. The only way to really tell what a first team or second team rep is the offensive line. That's kind of nailed down first team, second team. But besides that, I mean, really on both sides of the ball for the most part, it's a lot of moving parts, getting guys in, getting guys reps, and then limiting like the starters reps. I know KV and Gaither, for example, at linebacker, he's not taking every rep, kind of coming back from an injury at the end of last season. So lots of faces on the field, and really the O-line and maybe the DB group are the only two that are kind of first team, second team at this point.
Yeah, it's important that you talk about reps. And that brings me to the next part of your report that was a bit eye-opening and maybe a little surprising that in 2024, one of the changes, big changes that's coming to the defense this season is that Cassidy's defense will match the opponent's personnel. I mean, look, I know I am not an X's and O's expert. I am not a football expert by any means. But Ben, does it surprise you that in an age where offenses you can face 1 week an offense that's five wide, the next week you can face a team that's 12 personnel all the time with 12 personnel is, one running back, two tight ends for those who may not be aware. You're facing power packages, spread pack. You have to have the ability to adjust to all of those kind of on the fly. And I'm a little surprised that they didn't.
Yeah, you're talking about this year they're not going to?
No, the next last year. How
Oh, yeah. Okay, I see what you.
Last year they were not matching personnel, but this year they're going to. I'm a little surprised under Morris's defense that they weren't matching personnel.
Yeah, and I don't know if they weren't at all. I just think it's going to be a lot more than they were in the past, at a very minimum. And I think it's going to help this defense a lot also, especially since you're a little thin on the interior right now. I know Cassidy likes to go to a four down lineman look, and so it's a little bit difficult to get to that right now when you're a little thin on the interior. So you can kind of play with your packages, play with your personnel, and play to your strengths, which I think is going to be an advantage. And like you said, the way you defend a 12 personnel team versus a team that's going to have an air raid offense is going to be a little different. So I'm interested to see what that looks like too, and kind of how the defense shifts and morphs, kind of maybe not a different formation, but different personnel and what that looks like, because it is going to be a change from last year. Don't know if they weren't adapting at all last year or if it's just going to be more, but I know they're going to do it a lot. So it's definitely something to watch.
In defense of Morris, and this would be an interesting question to ask Casey Keeler. How much of that defensive philosophy of not necessarily matching opponents' personnel, but playing your defense was because of the tempo offenses that we've seen? And I think when they first, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but and please do. But if when they first started installing this defense and Morris came on, it was the era of offenses moving in and out, and you weren't always given a chance to match substitutions on defense. The last couple of years, that has changed, and I think that provides an opportunity, and maybe that was the problem, is that there was not a readjustment to how kind of the game of football changed a little bit.
Right. I think that definitely could have been part of it because I think that happened around when Morris came in as the DC a couple of years ago, 3, 4 years ago at this point. So that's a good point. And now that you have the substitution opportunities, it makes it a lot easier if you do want to put three down linemen, or if you want to put four linemen or three linebackers instead of two linebackers, if you want to play nickel or whatever it might be. And so that substitution definitely helps to be able to get the personnel out there in the formation that you want out there. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see kind of what it looks like in these scrimmages and also in the season coming up.
Another advantage is it helps with your depth. It helps provide rest. And for a defense that at times got tired last year, I think that could also be something that really helps too.
It is, yeah. And I think, and going back to that point also, Keeler mentioned this in his press conference, and I can even just see it because I was there last year and I'm there this year, but they pushed spring ball back probably 2 or 3 weeks compared to where they've traditionally done it, and spent those extra 2 to 3 weeks in the weight room and doing conditioning. And I don't know if it's just year two of being an FBS team and you've kind of got a little more depth, or if it's the strength program that they're on, but physically this team looks a lot bigger than they were last year, which is also encouraging. And that goes for both sides of the ball. So I'm excited to see how that looks like, and hopefully we can convert in those late game situations, kind of where things went haywire last year.
Yeah, definitely. So there were some names dropped that have impressed Cassidy. Your Kavian Gaithers and all that. And good for you guys. But there's one on there that this guy from Wichita Falls has got to highlight. That's Chris Murray, a fellow Wichita Fallsian, if that's even a thing.
Yes, and he actually has Meatball's number
Woohoo!
from last year. And I don't know if you remember this, but you probably do. Do you remember Sean Oakman from Baylor?
Yeah.
So Chris Murray, the way he looks physically, and he's got a gold mouthpiece that is very big out there. He reminds me a lot of what Sean Oakman looks like. He is physically one of the most impressive, if not the most impressive players out there. And he's one of the guys that Cassidy mentioned to me as a player that's really impressed him. And with him and Leon kind of there on the edge, I mean, that's going to be a really, really fun duo to watch this year on the D line.
I watched that man flat wreck high school kids. Offensive lineman, running back, he didn't matter. This dude wrecked folks.
You talking about Murray or Oakman?
Yes, talking about
Murray,
Murray.
yeah.
No, I mean, like, he wrecked. This was 4A football. He played at Hershey, right? Like, this is 4A foot, top 4A. This dude is wrecking people out there. And to see that is one of our guys that's FBS kind of group of five level, that just what that also shows is how rare it is to find those guys that can play not only group of five and even power five level, man. There's just so few of them.
Yeah, and when speaking of Power Five, he actually started his career at TCU. So
Yes, he
he
did.
was a highly regarded recruit, and he had a decent year last year. He had a sack, a tackle for loss. He had 15 total tackles, had three against Air Force, three total tackles against Air Force, four against New Mexico State. So when he was out there, he played well, and yeah, physically very, very impressive so far this spring.
It was a big deal when he signed with TCU, and he followed in the steps of DeMarque Foster, who was a running back at Hershey, who went to TCU as well. There was a time when the TCU had a really good connection into Wichita Falls, Hershey. And yeah, Murray transferred, him and his brother, I believe,
Yeah, Lloyd played a year
transferred.
also.
Yeah, and man, it's going to be fun to watch him wreck opposition again, this year.
I know. I mean, you got Javon Leon on one side, and then you've got Chris Murray on another, and then you've got Isaiah Nixon, who had a huge year last year. He's kind of a hybrid. He'll stand up, he'll put his hand in the ground, do a little bit of everything. So those three guys on the edge are legit FBS D linemen, and I'm excited to see what they do.
I am too. And I'm also excited to let everyone know that we are a podcast on the Republic of Football Network and an extension of Dave Campbell's Texas Football. Please like and subscribe to the podcast and follow us on various social media platforms, including Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at March to the Pod. It's all one word. March, the number two, the Pod. And another special hello to those watching on the Dave Campbell's YouTube page. You get to see us on split screen. We don't get to hide at all. How about that, Ben? How do you feel, man? How does it feel to be just like exposed out there like this?
That's the word I was going to use, was exposed.
Man, that word got different. Me in trouble back in high school.
Not anymore. Off the hook.
I don't know, man. I don't know what I'm going to do. How could anyone else figure it out?
Exactly.
I say this before I go and coach a rec league seventh and eighth grade baseball game.
The Flying Squirrels. Yep. Big game tonight.
It is a big game. Oh, yeah. The last game did not go so well. The energy was not brought. The attention to detail was not brought. And we paid a substantial price. But tonight, it's a whole new night for the Flying Squirrels.
There you go. Hey, just go 1-0 today.
That's right. And before we get into someone else who needs to go 1-0, I do want to let everyone know, if you would, go to texasfootball.com/subscribe. And let me just tell you what you can get for, it's $49.99. Okay, it's $50. But what you get for $50 is access to all of the content on texasfootball.com, all of the insider content. And if you haven't noticed, that's picking up here this week with some of these visits and stuff. There's some insider content that's been really great coming from Mike Craven, and Ishmael Johnson's got some, and Carter Yates has got some coming. Guys, it's worth it itself. And then you've got Texan Live and all the games that we broadcast on there. Your username works on both. Then you also get three magazines, the summer magazine, the basketball, and the recruiting edition. All of that for $50 at texasfootball.com/subscribe. And also, speaking of homestand, when you need someone to fix a roof, call the people who are home, who are Sam Houston, who understand Huntsville, who understand the big country, the hill country, Texas, San Antonio, Houston, you name it, man. Eternal Roofing is where it is at. And we told you earlier how they'll give you free inspections and no high-pressure sales pitch. They do more than just roofs. They also do general contracting. So they can paint the interior, exterior of your home. They can install gutters, garage doors. They can install floors, give you any woodworking need, crown molding, shelf. They can repair sheetrock. I'm glad that came out, sheetrock, Ben. And they are the choice, Ben, for, oh my goodness, Ben, it's April the 11th. It is time to start thinking about Christmas.
I know. It's crazy. What, 7 months away from starting to put them up at this point?
Seven? When are you putting them up?
I mean, most people put them up. A lot of people put them up in November.
I could say October. I think I could.
Six months. Let's make it even closer.
There you go. But, so you better get on the list now, because I bet you the list to install, and they will remove your Christmas lights, I bet that list is filling up. So get a hold of them now. Get it set. Get any general contracting roof work you need. Call Eternal Roofing or visit eternalroofingtx.com, where they have a gallery. You can see all the tremendous work. And let me get you a couple phone numbers. Hill Country, area code 830-251-5673. Montgomery, area code 936-215-8539. Or you can email Taylor at eternalroofingtx.com. Ben, it is a huge, huge weekend for the baseball team. And while we were out last week, it was a rough week for the baseball team. They went to, just to recap quickly, because we don't want to relive it, they went to Liberty and they got swept three games. And only the first one was really in question. They come home, they played they went to Lamar, and Lamar is a really good team. Just got done taking a series against Oklahoma, and boy, they put it to the Cats as well. Thankfully, the Cats got to go out to some elevation, we'll say, in Albuquerque. And they put up a whole lot of offensive runs. They gave up a few in the first game, but gave they a 14-3 win, given up 3 runs in Albuquerque. That's pretty impressive. And then they followed that up Tuesday with a big
Tuesday.
they followed that up, yeah, Tuesday, that big game against Houston, man.
You
They
don't
that was
do you know
eight
the
five.
Tuesday meme that's going around right now?
I've been in magazines, man.
Yeah,
I'm not
I
100% certain.
if people know Sketch, the streamer, everybody's talking about, that's one of his jokes. And I know the baseball team made a joke about it in their when they won on Tuesday, so I didn't know if you picked up on that.
I didn't. I missed all of that, man. Life has been busy.
Yeah, long story short, he is a streamer, a very interesting streamer, and he plays video games, mainly Madden. And he's just blown up. He was actually with CJ Stroud and Stephon Diggs and all them the other day. He's a Texans fan, and when he plays Madden, every single time he makes a check at the line, he just screams Tuesday like over and over. That he does it every time. And so a lot of these teams, when they win on Tuesday, are like emphasizing the Tuesday part.
Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Well, they need to be ready on Friday this week because Western Kentucky is coming into the Don for a 3-game series. And hey, at least two of them are going to be on TV. 6:30 Friday night, 3 o'clock on Saturday, and closing it out at 1 o'clock on Sunday against the Hilltoppers. Ben, considering that they haven't played a conference series since the disaster in Lynchburg, this is a big one for the Cats to get back on the right footing in Conference USA.
It's a big one for a couple reasons. The first one is you started conference play just really rough, 3-6, and you don't want to dig too big of a hole. This is a 24-game conference schedule. You're used to a 30-game conference schedule. Don't have as much time to kind of dig yourself out of it. And then the second reason is Western Kentucky is a team that looks really good. I mean, they just took 2 of 3 from Dallas Baptist. They beat top 15, I think, ranked Louisville on Tuesday night, Tuesday. And then yeah, they're 6-3, and
Tuesday?
yeah, Tuesday, just
Tuesday.
yeah, Tuesday, they're 6-3 in conference. And so you don't want to let things get away from you, and it's a team where if you can win the series, you're going to catch back up to a team that's, I think, maybe tied for second right now. So really big series, and I think you got to win at least 2 out of 3.
And they're at home right now. That game against the Cougars began an 8-game, a streak of 8 games, 7 of them are at home. And when you're talking about two of those being conference, and you're wanting to make sure you're secure for a postseason bid at large wise, you're going to need, I say, at least 35 wins, probably closer to 40. And you're starting to get into that area where that's going to be tough to reach.
It is. And honestly, I feel like if you're going to be an at-large, you've probably got maybe 3, maybe 4 conference losses left. I mean, a maximum. I mean, I don't see, I mean, you've probably got to go 17-7, maybe 18-6 kind of thing, because you're on the outside of the bubble right now. So you've really got to make a push to get back in on the other side of the bubble after those rough 4 or 5 games.
But they can do it. They've got the pitching to do it. And if the bats continue to get going like they did it at New Mexico out in Albuquerque last week, then this team has the ability. Like, I think that's what's frustrating right now, Ben, is we all see it. I think even they know they have the ability to put together a good streak. They just haven't been able to do it yet.
Right. And it just kind of feels like, I don't know if you know, it's like a GIF where it's like where you hit one button and two go this way and one goes this way. It's just like the bullpen will be great one day, and then the hitting and fielding won't be. And then the fielding and hitting will be great one day, but the starting pitching won't be. It's just like you just got to get it all rowing in the right direction, because the talent is there. You just got to put it all together.
It is. You know where who else has talent?
Who's that?
The Bowling Cats. Oh,
Yes.
you were listening and thinking we weren't going to talk about the national champion competing because they are in the tournament for the Final Four.
Yep.
Our Cats bowling team And by the way, shout out to Conference USA. If you want to bowl, that's where it's at. It just means more. It just does.
It does. I mean, and Coach Hagan said it in his press conference earlier this week. Bowling is the SEC of football. It doesn't get much better than this. It just means more. But yeah, starts tomorrow in I think Allen Park, Michigan, just outside of Detroit. It's a double elimination format, Friday and Saturday. Four teams are there, all from Conference USA. And I know Sam Houston gets started at 9 o'clock tomorrow against Jacksonville State, who I think is the top seed in the entire tournament. So we'll see what it looks like. I know when they won back in 2014, I think they were the 8 seed in that tournament. So they've done it before, and they're playing really well, getting hot at the right time. So yeah, we could be coming home with a national title this week, and I really hope we do.
The fact they're competing for it is just, I mean, I know there's a few out there that go bowling. Yeah. I tell you what, go pick up a ball and roll. Let's see how good you do.
Yeah. You're not
That's one
bowling
of
a
those sports I don't have to tell
250.
you about it. You can go do that actually, right? And then maybe you'll have a little more respect for the talent these bowlers have.
Yeah, they are very good. It's a program that I know a lot of people talk about football, baseball, golf, kind of the traditional powerhouses at Sam Houston, but really the past decade plus, bowling, you could argue, is the most successful school out there, and they've gone a national championship. So hopefully we can make it 2 national championships in bowling by the end of the weekend.
You want something to compare Sam Houston to Texas, the bowling to the University
Okay.
of Texas? Sam
I think we're
Houston
better.
bowling is equivalent to Texas swimming and diving.
Yeah, there you go.
Did you think I don't know about swimming and diving in college?
Well,
Of
I didn't
course
know if
I
you were going to
do.
say, I didn't know what sport you were going to say, because they're good at volleyball, softball, swimming and diving. I
Yeah,
didn't know
but
which one
swimming
you were
and
going
diving
with.
is where they're always like top of the
Right.
country and stuff. Even more, it used to be track and field at times, especially when Jackie Joyner-Kersee was there and running the program and stuff. But yeah, it is always interesting to me because my brain keeps so much useless sports knowledge
That's what we're
that.
good for. Somebody's got to do it.
Hey, I at least get paid to not to know all this crap now, right?
There you go.
Yeah, let's look at the
So now you
bright
got a
side.
reason, at least.
That's right. And another bright side thing to look at would be what's happening over at Cat Fund and over in the Cat Fund exclusive area. Ben, give us an update. Tell us how we can get involved and get some of that inside information.
Yeah, cat-fund.com, our new website, is up. It's been up for a couple days now, which is exciting. Starting as little as $10 a month, you could become a member of the NIL Collective with all the money going back to the players. And we do have an exciting event coming up, actually, next Saturday before the football auction. So the football auction is at 6 o'clock on the 20th. If you sign up or if you buy a ticket to the auction, and you're a Cat Fund member, you get access to a meet and greet with Casey Keeler at 5 o'clock before the auction. So become a Cat Fund member, buy a ticket to the auction, and you get that access to the meet and greet. So a lot of exciting things going on.
You saw what Lamar put out, right, for their spring game. Lamar University, and I honestly, it's a little surprising that I'm saying they are doing the right thing here. Like, this is impressive to come up with what they did here. What it is they got fans go fill out a questionnaire, take 10 to 15 minutes of your time, you know, but what happens is you get entered into a drawing for a huge package for the spring game. Like, it's a really cool stuff, including some swag and dinner with Coach Ross Amando. I know Sam Houston just got a fan engagement person. I would say that's a good place to look at, because what you do there is you're going to get fan involvement, but you're going to find out what you need to improve. And I think that's important. You want to get more people in the seats, find out what you need to improve. And Lamar's doing that. And I give big shout out and kudos to them. And I encourage Sam Houston to do the same.
Yeah, I mean, I saw you post that, and it does a couple of different things. That you get feedback on what's working, what's not working. Then you get people at the spring game. You could possibly sell tickets to them, sell merchandise, whatever it might be. So I thought it was a good idea, and hopefully we can get some of that going here as well.
It cracks me up when I see these teams go, come get your season tickets at the spring game. And I'm like, Why? What are you offering me to come watch spring game football for? Right? Like, I'm
Come on, it's for
not.
the love of the game.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you know who does things for the love of the game? Our friends over at Eternal Roofing. Taylor Anderson and the crew are outstanding. We've told you a lot about them, but let me give you a little bit more. They use high quality stuff. And when I say that, here's what I'm talking about. CertainTeed shingles. They're known for their ability to really hold up throughout any sort of weather. They last forever. They've got stunning beauty. They look great. You can see them at eternalroofingtx.com. Go to the gallery. Also, they're specialists in business roofing as well, commercial roofing, we'll call it. They can accommodate your HVAC system, any other roof equipment, while ensuring minimal disruptions to your operations during installation or repair. Give them a call. They get you the email address here first, Taylor at eternalroofingtx.com. Here's a couple phone numbers for you. Area code 936-215-8539. That'll get you to the Montgomery office, or in the Hill Country, area code 830-251-5673. Commercial, residential, roofing, and general contracting services throughout the Hill Country, Houston, and the state of Texas. Give our friends at Eternal Roofing a call. And I think, Ben, that we end this with probably the best segment of the weekend, and that is softball, man. Softball went up to mid to which played Middle Tennessee State. They hosted them. They got a sweep. They got their first Conference
Sweep.
USA win. Sweep. That's right. Did you go watch a video of that?
I still need to.
You need it, dude. I'm telling you, the Swedish curling team, and listen to them go sweep. It is addicting. It really is. Now, I'm
That's what
not
I'm doing
just
right
talking
after
about the
this.
Swedish curling team for any of you out there thinking, you know, I'm not just saying they're addicting. The sweep is addicting.
Yes.
It's the sweep.
Yep. The
Okay.
competition, the love of the game,
That's
it's
right.
addicting.
That's right. Well, the softball team, they love the game right now because they just went and took three against Middle Tennessee State. And in the process, they brought home some awards, the freshman of the week, and they brought home player of the week. Ben, tell us a little more about.
Yeah, like you said, the sweep, and then two conference player of the week honors, and started off with Amy Abke, who, as a true freshman, has had an incredible season. I know she threw a shutout in that first game. I think it was a complete game shutout, which was really cool to see. This year, she's thrown 78.2 innings with a 3.3 ERA as a true freshman, and she's kind of been your ace. And so that's been really good to see. And I think she's only gotten better as the year has gone on. And then Aaliyah Hebel was selected as the player of the week. So you had freshman of the week, player of the week, and she had a really big week as well. And is having a really big year, hitting 300 with five homers, eight doubles, 31 hits, 22 RBIs, OPS of around 1,000. And so she's having a really good year. Amy Abke's having a really good year. And it's good to see softball have some success. I know it's been kind of a bumpy first year in Conference USA. So to see them get a sweep has been really good. Yeah. Yep, and if they can keep it going, I mean, they're only a game or two out from kind of getting into the middle of the pack when it comes to the Conference USA standings. So hopefully they can build on this going forward.
What I love about softball is you can find really, really good players anywhere across this state, right? Amy Abke, she came from Seven Lakes, from Katy Seven Lakes there. You look at Elia, you know where Elia is from?
She
Albany,
is,
Texas, man.
yep.
Albany. You have got a player that good coming out of a 2A.
Yep.
That's,
They're
and then.
everywhere. Houston's a hotbed. I mean, Houston's got all the talent you need.
Oh, Houston, Dallas, like the state of
Texas in
Texas.
general, yeah.
Yes, for softball, you don't need to go far to build up a really good team. It's why when teams aren't winning around this area, I really kind of I have to wonder why. Because when you see this, you know, I can the women's softball team, let me just say this. When you have a true freshman as your pitcher, you're building for the future.
Arguably your top two pitchers this year are true freshmen, which is crazy.
That's a recipe for building for the future. That's what that is.
Yes, and I mean, I know a lot of the lineup is old, but a lot of how you win is pitching, especially in college softball. And so if you've got the pitching, you've got a chance to win. And so a little bit of a rough year, but if you can retain those two, and Abkey, and then Abigail Young is the other one, I think you got to feel pretty good about the future.
You actually said the lineup is old.
The lineup, well, they're all, a lot of them are juniors and seniors. That's what I meant.
I just think it's hilarious.
You knew what I meant.
Of course I did. Of course, but I'm in junior high, so that's just how I am.
Yep. Got to do it.
Speaking of junior high, I'm gonna go coach some junior high kids here in a few minutes, Ben.
There you go. What team are y'all taking on tonight?
We are taking on the Burke Burnett Bulldogs, who we played in the first game. But they're a pretty talented team, so our guys have got to be on their game tonight, and we're gonna have to get some good decision making when we get into pickles.
There you
Oh,
go.
real quick too, shout out to the Rangers last night. I went down to Arlington, and the only reason I did that on a Wednesday night is because they were giving out the World Series replica trophies. And so now I have completed my set. When the Rangers won in 2011 the American League Championship, I have the replica trophy from that and the replica from the World Series. I finally have completed the set of trophies.
The Hall of Trophies, right? And
Dude.
they also completed the just narrowly missing a no-hitter against the A's this afternoon.
That is true. That is true. We're not going to talk about that right now. But what we will talk about is how different it is to walk around that place and see world champion stuff.
Changes things, doesn't
It
it?
really did. It did. I mean, it's just there's a different vibe in that place now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
People expect to win too, probably, which is the first time in a while.
Oh yeah, people were into that game last night, well, they only won because we were there, that obviously.
Not because they were playing the Oakland Triple A's.
Hey. They're major
The
league players,
Sacramento
man.
Triple A's.
I'm not a
Sorry.
major league player, I'll tell you that.
Hey, a win's a win.
Yeah. All righty. Well, speaking of winning, we need to get out of here and give our baseball and softball and our bowling team. Ben, forget baseball, softball right now. Yeah, they need to win. Bowling is where it is at. But before we do that, I want to say thank you to all of you listening, all of you watching on YouTube. Thank you so much. Without you, we're not able to do any of this. And until next time, Ben, let's get something to take us out that brings that natty home from the bowling team.
Eat 'em up, cats, and let me go buy some replica bowling championship memorabilia after this weekend.
Let him buy an NCAA replica title trophy.